ask me questions. Don't
let
me just...
Talk Radio.
And now we're live from Fontana, California, on January the 12th, 2012.
Are you wearing my jacket?
I'm wearing your jacket.
No wonder I couldn't find it.
It fits me well.
Yeah, you like it. It's a suit, actually.
So we're broadcasting from Fontana, California, on January the 12th, 2012, following the CES convention. This is Day 3 Update. And I'm Greg Masters, your co-host, sitting in shotgun with my partner, Mr. Who are you?
Mr. Lon Levin.
Lon Levin. We've been driving around
Chief Creative
Las
Officer.
Vegas, referring to ourselves as the Two Stooges. And if our third partner was with us, we would have a perfection for the Three Stooges, because that's what it would be like.
Well, actually, it's the perfect man. That's it.
So this is Day 3 Update from CES 2011. And I'm going to let you know that we've had an awesome time in Las Vegas. And it didn't start off that well. In fact, we're in the very setting.
You've been back here a few times.
That initiated the journey.
Yeah, it's very ironic that we're broadcasting from
we
here.
We are broadcasting from the Starbucks where I left all my gear and equipment.
That's right.
In Starbucks here, drove to Las Vegas, only realizing when we were giving the luggage to the bellman.
At the beautiful downtown Fremont Hotel.
Downtown Fleabag Fremont Hotel.
Which we highly not recommend.
Right. Did I realize that I had left my backpack behind with my laptop, my iPad,
right.
My ID, everything I needed, yada, yada, yada. So I get to drive back from Las Vegas.
Early in the morning.
Telecamping on Tuesday.
Leaving me all on my own.
Missing the whole game plan was kind of thrown off kilter. So, but anyway.
We recovered from it very nicely.
We have recovered from it. So we're going to give you an update and wind down this little tour in This Week in Digital Media. So, Lon.
Yeah?
Tell us about your last day here at CES.
Last day, can't I tell you about... well, that's the last day, that's right.
Well,
because
tell us whatever you want to tell.
I will tell you about the last day because this was the most important day for me. I was following the Kid Play track, and it was very interesting. Learned a lot of things that I didn't know before. Actually, yesterday I did Digital Hollywood, which is interesting too. But this day was more important to me as I am a children's book author and illustrator. And mostly an illustrator. I don't want to confuse people with that. But
kick the table.
I won't kick the table, Mr. Masters. Okay, so this morning started out with a keynote speaker, and the topic was the gamification of everything. And the speaker was Mr. Ozzie Barak, who was co-president of Games for Change. And I found Ozzie very interesting. He was talking... Mainly, and he's not really in there to make any money. He's in there to change the way people think about each other. And what he had showed us was a demonstration of his game that was actually having to do with fighting between Israelis and Arabs, I guess. That's what it looked like. And what he would do is set it up in different schools in that area, and the Israeli kids would play the Arab side, and the Arab kids would play the Israeli side, so they got to see things from a different perspective, and it was very instructive to them. So the whole idea there is to go into different parts of the world and supply the game for people who needed to learn about the other people's side, and I thought that was very interesting. And one of his main statements was that, first of all, the future is in the tablets, in the smartphones, and that the kids are reusing, because that's where everything is going to be going. according to him. And he said in turn 5 to 10 years, everybody will be using tablets and smartphones to do everything. And that was Ozzy Virok, and that was very interesting. And I guess his book is called Half the Sky, and it's an interesting book. And I
keep talking like your voice is going down.
I'm going down? And I'm tired. I've been driving for 4 hours. Okay, I'll speak up. Can you guys hear me out there? The next session was Kids Go Mobile, and that had various different people. The moderator was Mr. Warren Buckleitner. He's the editor of Children's Technology Review. Panelists was Mr. Ashley Saab, managing director of Carumba, Ms. Jill Waller, VP Mobile Learning for LeapFrog, who I talked to a little bit. She was a very interesting woman. Mr. Jim Mitchell, CEO of Boohoo. Dr. Dan Yang, CEO, Ruling Net Corporation, I'm sorry, and Mr. John Kohler, Director of Hardware at Sony America. Very interesting session, talking about different tablets. Everybody had their own tablet. Vinci had a tablet, LeapFrog, Playbase, Navi Vita, and Kitty tablets and devices were multiplying all over the place. So it was very interesting. Each one showed their product, and all of them were extremely interesting. I noticed also that Dr. Yang was very, very aggressive in talking about her product, Vinci, and how it worked and how safe it was for kids. And it truly was a great product. All the products were great, as a matter of fact. And I suggest anybody who is interested and has kids check out some of the tablets from some of these companies. The least expensive and probably the most interesting to me was made by LeapFrog. And all these tablets also have a conversion where you can go from the kid mode to the mom mode. They're really just iPads scaled down, made for kids. And the kid mode obviously has bigger buttons, more interesting screens, better graphics, and leaving out the stuff that you would see for adults. Very good products. And they quoted a fellow named Dr. Paul Pollack, who said, most of the designers in the world design products for less than 10% of the market, which is very true, and that's got to change because the market is changing rapidly, and we all have to adapt as people who are in this area. That was that session. The second session, the next section after that was called Screen Time, How Young is Too Young. And it was the moderator was Dr. David Kleeman, President of American Center for Children and Media. Panelists were Ms. Manila Austin, VP Research Common Space, Ms. Carly Schuler, Senior Consultant, Joanne Grimes, Clooney Center. This was a very interesting session. Hey, I'll turn it over to you. I'm trying to give all the information to people out there. Look, this part we can go through quickly. It was to study statistics, showing what's going on, and the main thing being that 84 to 87% of people are optimistic about the effects that the tablets and social media is having on kids. All right, I'm glad that makes you laugh, Mr. Masterson. So now I'm going to turn over to Greg. Greg, you tell me what you've been doing. We'll get back to me because my stuff's really interesting, and you'll see how much more interesting mine is than yours.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. Yeah. So did you get all that? I hope you were taking notes.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to get information. People can roll this back
great.
And forth. Now I'm going to go to my dinner, and you can start
You
talking.
Have to be there to kind of experience it. Of course, if you go to zanatemedia.com,
Zanatemedia,
we've got some clips up there, and we're doing obviously this podcast meeting to check it out. But
you check out the mashup that I put together. My feelings about, you know, visually.
I have to tell you, if you've never been to CES before, it's just an overwhelming experience because over basically 3 days, You've got 120,000 to 150,000 people cycling through these humongous exposition centers.
Right.
Each one the size of a football field. So, I mean, you are moving
noisy.
And you are getting from point A to point B. Now, we were in the press corps, so the press is located in one south concourse area.
Right.
And most of the stuff that we're doing with the programs, seminars, and institutes and summits that we went to were in the north tower, in the north center. So there was a lot of walking, and there's no direct path because you got lots of people in your path. So
right.
It's like a, you know, a major... It's a sea of humanity. So if you do plan a CES as a future event, study the schedule. It's all online ahead of time at cesweb.org. And take some time and circle things up that you want to check out and have an interest in and plan ahead. That'll make your life a whole lot easier. Okay?
Also, the going on the floor, which I spend a lot of time on.
Lots of tchotchkes on the floor.
Lots of stuff that's kind of redundant, so crowded, so full of noise and music and lights. It's like insane. You don't know if you're on the Strip in Vegas. Or in the convention center, it's all the same. A lot of 3D. We sat there. What was that
3D
thing?
LG.
LG
3D. LG theater, yeah.
Wow, man, it was huge.
Pretty incredible, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, dig it. So, anyway, highly recommend it. Checking out once a year, major event in Las Vegas. Okay, so my deal today was day two of the Digital Health Summit. And the Digital Health Summit was about... the merger or the nexus between technology and health.
You put me to sleep.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, health is near and dear to all of us. As we heard today, there's $2.7 trillion that is spent in the healthcare delivery system per annum, and the combined government spend of that.
Repeat that again, $2.7
trillion. $2.7
trillion. Who has all this
in the American economy of $14 trillion, $2.7 trillion is in the healthcare sector.
Yes, yes.
And it's 5% of the people who are consuming healthcare services account for 50% of the spend. Okay, so just between the government programs, Medicare and Medicaid, you've got a $900 billion spend, okay, out of the $2.7 trillion base spending. So here's the deal. We have a fragmented healthcare system. It's siloed, discontinuous, and episodically based, and people are paid per episode of service typically rendered. What's going on right now is there's lots of efforts to try and up-level the management of healthcare to what's called a population focus, as opposed to looking at an individual in a silo, one physician with one patient, providing one service and billing for that service, taking more of a longitudinal look at that person, the physician's relationship with the patient or the member in the plan, and having a longitudinal overtime relationship that's about total health management.
We were discussing this, right?
Well,
it's not an easy thing to affect.
It's not an easy thing to understand, and B, it's not an easy thing to affect. But the bottom line is, with all these gizmos and gadgets and the connectivity that's going on and enabled by all of this ubiquitous instrument is the smartphone, tablet, smartphones, you name it, which is now giving people the opportunity to connect with the web and all the services and programs that used to be domiciled on the desktop or in a server or in an enterprise is now in the web.
So a lot of the stuff is out there now, because what we saw maybe not as out there. It's still in the beta testing mode.
Well,
right?
Some of it's out there. I mean, Fitbit as an example.
Fitbit
is,
right.
is a technique that it's a sensor that you wear. There's a couple locations in your
small,
body that you can put
sensor.
It. Little Fitbit thing.
Yeah.
And it measures, it's like, you know, high-end pedometer. It tracks and measures certain biometric stuff, and it reports it wirelessly to a base unit up to the web, and it stores in a account specific to you.
So do you have to, if you store it up in an account, you password it so that your physician or whoever you want, and they can have access and then check you out.
It's your account, just like you sign on to Gmail.
Fantastic.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, well, Fitbit would be one example of a very niche product. But the point is that these sensors which are now being enabled by the connectivity, which was not possible 5-10 years ago, you know, because of the, you know, technological and privacy
right.
reasons. We still have privacy issues, but it's enabling.
Can people hack into these things? Can they get information? Do they do it?
Well,
would there be any purpose to it?
Yeah, there's data breaches all over the place, and healthcare is not immune. So that's definitely a concern. But even as the technology evolves, you've got, you know, the device, and you've got the network, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the sensors are the devices, and the network is part of where the security is, and there's lots going on to perfect security. So it's still a work in progress. But still, for the most part, there's a lot of on-the-come benefit here, that if people have an ease of access to certain body sensors that will effortlessly report certain biometric data, that is put in some kind of feedback loop direct to you or in your social network, such that it encourages and it shapes healthy choices in your life.
Right.
Okay,
and
the net effect of healthy choices in your life is you stay healthier longer and you're less of a burden on the healthcare system.
Right.
Okay, so that's the theory. That's the holy grail that everyone's chasing.
So the whole idea really is to get out in front of it instead of treating it on the back end when you actually are afflicted with something.
Totally.
Is to get you into the mode of, you know, preempting any of these problems by living healthier.
Totally. And as we were leaving CS today, we bumped into Fred Goldstein, who's the chief operating officer of U.S. Prevention, Preventive Medicine, and they launched their prevention plan with a new app called the Macaw app. And apparently in the 10 mobile app showdowns they had today, they were one of the 10 finalists. And according to Fred, they were not selected as the winner by the in-studio, if you will, vote, but the online vote favored the Macaw app. So this would be one example of an Android or an iPhone-based app, wellness app,
mm-hmm.
that goes through sort of an overall health risk assessment, and then it provides, provides a program that allows you to establish a regimen, and it not only tracks your compliance with the regimen, it sort of supports you as you work your way through it.
So the whole idea with this is achievement, and we're all kind of programmed to achieve and driven by, you know, I did better than the last time. So that's the kind of feeling here, where if you get your data that you're going to want to be improving on that all the time, hence live a better life.
Well, let's personalize it. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a health incident a couple years ago.
Yeah, big health incident.
What happened?
I had open heart surgery. I actually went in for a checkup, and they wouldn't let me out. They said that I had blockage. I didn't have heart problem necessarily. It was artery problem. But they held me in and said I had to be operated on, and within 24 hours I had to have a zipper job. And from then on, I mean, the doctor told me I had to lose weight. I had to go on a stricter diet. I had to, you know, and I was in rehab where they taught me the kind of exercises I needed to know in order to get better. And now, 2.5 years later, lost about 25 pounds. Generally, I mean, not in Vegas. Obviously, I ate horribly in Vegas. At least I didn't gamble. But normally, I eat pretty well.
Okay, well, let me stop you there. So the point is, you know, you had open heart surgery.
Correct.
You were asymptomatic prior to that, most part.
Yeah.
Now, and so there's two pieces here. One is the diagnostic side, and then
right.
the other side is post in the recovery phase. Okay.
Right.
So here, as an example, one of the products, Dr. Dave Alpert, who's the founder and CEO of ICG Phone,
right.
at AliveCore,
next to yesterday.
AliveCore.com, AliveCore.com. They have an EKG that is a little device that your iPhone slips into,
right, exactly.
and it will give you a clinical grade ECG. Okay, so let's say you had. By the way, it's not approved for sale in the United States yet. It has not been signed off on by the powers that be, but for the most part, this is being demonstrated at conferences, mm-hmm. Health 2.0 and other conferences, where they've talked about ICG Phone. iPhone ECG. Let's say you had one of those.
Right. So I can monitor myself. Send the data out.
And you said, okay, I've got 3 weeks of data sampling. Send it to your cardiologist. Whoa, you better come in.
Yeah.
We don't like what we're seeing.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Would have been great because I was running a high risk the way I was.
You could have collapsed and died.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's the front end. So now the back end is in your rehab. What about having a program that tracks and reports, if not provides reminders and almost incentive structure for you to be on a rehab schedule?
Well, I'll tell you.
Would that work for you?
That would have worked, and what would really have been good for me, because I was at that point living in Big Bear, California, and for my rehab, which was 2 weeks, I drove to Rancho Mirage, because that's where the hospital was where I had surgery at Eisenhower. I had to use that facility in order to insurance to kick in correctly. So there I was. I had to go down there because there's nothing up in Big Bear. So if I could have done this remotely, it would have been a great, great,
But my point is this, is you're someone who's relatively savvy about, and you're pretty good at being compliant with your exercise regimen.
Yeah.
I mean, you're focused, like just as an example, when you check into the hotel, the first thing you ask is there a workout room here?
Right.
Okay, so that's part of
never
your
got
job.
To use it.
Never got to use it.
As long as I knew it was there.
The intention was there.
Yeah.
But my point is this, is something that aids that workout schedule,
mm-hmm.
however you define it, whether it be to basically define it for you, so it measures and reports your progress and patterns over time, would you find that of benefit?
Yeah.
Well there it is.
Yeah.
That's an example of this technology.
Yeah, which is
exactly
terrific.
What's going on.
And it's an incentive. You know, when you hear back, well, all of us want to be coached and helped by somebody who knows better what we should be doing. So you're done out there on your own.
Right.
So that it would be terrific.
So anyway, that was
okay.
Kind of the day today.
That was good.
In the digital health, so we kicked off in the morning the morning session.
I just want to put in.
We had a keynote on the state of the wireless health industry.
Oh, you had.
That was Don Jones, Vice President of Wireless Health, Global Strategy and Market Development at Qualcomm, and his special guest was Dr. Leslie Saxon, Chief of the Division of Cardiovascular Medicine.
You're doing exactly what I was doing.
At the University of Southern California. Well, I'm keeping him alive.
Oh, okay.
That was an excellent session.
But I'm trying to educate kids.
Well, you need to be quiet. So now Qualcomm, because Qualcomm has provided so much of the infrastructure for the wireless backbone with the CDMA technology and all the add-ons that they've done since, is they're enabling this ubiquitous network. And they've spun off, they're so active in the wireless health domain that they've spun off a number of subsidiary companies, and one of which is...
Is this the same
Qualcomm Live? Which is
the same
subsidiary.
Qualcomm who used to the Charger Stadium?
Yep.
And so they're a telecommunications company, and they rolled into these businesses as well.
Qualcomm is the Intel inside of basically the mobile phone industry. And they've spun off a company called Qualcomm Life, and it's really focused on wireless health. And not only do they have dogs in the hunt of their own products, but they're an incubator and an investor in startup companies that have novel ideas.
Good for them.
And following that, they went into basically an architecture conversation on connectivity that was a little more technical than I was interested in. And that was followed by who's paying the bill for e-health. And this is was led by Matthew Holt, the co-founder of the Health 2.0 conference, as well as the publisher of the healthcare blog. He led a very stellar panel of Robert Geron, Senior Director of Government Affairs at Qualcomm, and Dr. Joseph Kvedar, Director for Center of Connected Health at Partners Healthcare, and Bill Walsh, Senior Advisor at AARP. And by the way, I got to speak with Bill Walsh at AARP.
You're talking about not Bill Walsh,
not
the coach.
Right.
That would have been exciting.
Right.
Maybe
this
Bill Walsh is exciting.
I think he's the late Bill Walsh.
Oh, that Bill Walsh died?
The late Bill Walsh.
Well, okay. Kudos to the late
coach.
Bill Walsh.
The coach
is a great
history.
Coach. You're right. He did
the coach is history. And And then we also had, which was a little bit disappointing, you could perhaps, if you're following the Steve Jobs saga, you've heard the name John Sculley recently mentioned. John Sculley was a former PepsiCo executive that Steve Jobs recruited to Apple for the big turnaround at Apple. And I don't know how many decades later, but Steve Jobs hired John Sculley, and John Sculley convinced the board to fire Steve Jobs. He recounted lately that was one of the biggest mistakes he ever made, was to let Steve Jobs go. But he did a keynote at noon talking about health innovation, and he made a point of distinguishing between health reform, a la the politics that's going on in Washington, and health innovation, which is going on in meetings like today, where they're developers and policy people and clinicians and programmers all in the same room talking about health and connectivity and program development.
One point about that firing of Steve Jobs is, without the firing of Steve Jobs, it may not have been a Pixar. And so
that's true.
It actually was a very beneficial
thing. You have to look at that pathway, right.
Because now the innovation that Pixar has brought to the entertainment business is just very far-reaching.
And it certainly provides jobs with motivation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, he came back.
And he changed the world.
Yeah. Amazing.
So I was a little disappointed in John Sculley's keynote. He was on the moon. And
he was doing a little more pitching.
And I'll tell you one thing. So he talked about disruptive business models, and one of the intentions was actually founded by what I like to call the neo-criminal Rick Scott, who's now the governor of Florida. He used to run Columbia HCA Healthcare. And got Columbia and HCA in very deep trouble with the federal government, to the tune of a fine of $1.9 billion that had to pay for defrauding the government. So
and he ended up being governor.
He started a company called Solantic, which is an urgent care center. And Sculley mentioned that because he's somewhat Florida-centric, because he spends time down there, if not he lives down there. Anyway, he's a good guy. And I don't know. Rather than recount all this, I just say that it's a really exciting time. The Digital Health Summit was extremely well done. If anything, it was back-to-back, nonstop action that could have benefited from a couple breaks in there.
Yeah, they did that. You know, track that I was in, whether it was a kids' play or the Digital Hollywood, back-to-back-to-back, I mean, it numbs your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You can't appreciate what you've been hearing, and there's so much information out there. We'll probably review in the next few days. I know we'll be posting and commenting and putting mashups and everything up. But I did want to mention about Digital Hollywood, the innovations going on there as well. A lot of the people who were in feature films or TV have now migrated over to this online area, online programming. And it's becoming more democratic in a way, because they're offering platforms to people who don't have the bucks to produce these big shows, and shows are now coming out on YouTube, come out on different platforms in 3-minute, 4-minute jacks that can be monetized. So it was very exciting. Flip TV, a bunch of the other entities were there talking about what they could do. So it was very instructive.
Well, that's good. So I want to just wrap up my segment on the digital health with, I was very impressed. Their first run at it was last year at CES, did a half-day event. Today they did 2 full days. It was supremely well pulled off, very well planned, excellent faculty, well attended. Maybe allow some downtime, because it's a lot of information to absorb and it's hard to move around. Yeah. They're going to have a digital health summit in San Diego that's coming June, so we're looking forward to that. So kudos to the digital health people. I put them on a par with Health 2.0 and any of the other innovation, transformation-type healthcare forums that are out there in the world. So we're coming down to the end of our broadcast. We're getting close. But so... Any other sort of thoughts bubbling up to the surface here? What's the key takeaway for you on the second round here, other than the fact that the adult...
Second round, you mean going to
other than that AdultCon wasn't in,
that was
in Las Vegas concurrently with CES. I wonder if they planned
And I noticed that when we were leaving, a very nice-looking young woman came up and said, well, AdultCon is happening. Do you want free tickets to go to it as we're walking to our car to go home?
It's AVN, Adult Video Network, or something like that.
But anyway, my key takeaway is that there was no... Last year it was about 3D. Everything was 3D this, 3D that. This year it was about refinement. Tablets, of smartphones, of everything. So you're seeing some really interesting products coming out that are getting more refined, more sophisticated, and giving everybody the opportunity to jump into this if you're interested. So, you know, that's my takeaway is that there's a lot of stuff out there that people should get familiar with and be part of. It's your world, so it's happening now. Join in.
Yeah, that's good. So my takeaway would be, this thing is, even though this show has been going a while, I think it's really just starting to get going with all the innovation. Today there was a lot of basically emphasizing improvements around screens and resolution and
even in
integration.
In the 3D area, the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of improvement I saw from last year. Lots of the gimmicky stuff is not there. It's getting more serious and more interesting. So,
you know what? So we're going to call it quits.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, the last thing I want to do a shout out to Jill Gilbert, co-producer of the Digital Health Summit. Jill did a wonderful job. Hope we did helped you with some of the visibility of the digital footprint, both inside and outside of the summit. So look forward to the program in June, Jill. Okay, with that, I'm going to call it a close. We're going to hit the road and make it back to Los Angeles.
Right back, Greg is going to be staying with our other partner, our Thailand partner, and they'll exchange notes.
So we're going to send you out with the music I know you love. That's it. See you next time.
Find out.